Lecture topic, Significance of the Migration, Part 2.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in this way with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He bases himself in Quba. For a period of time he stays there. لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ. Allah speaks about Masjid al-Taqwa. The masjid that was built in Quba. Nabi Sassam stays there for a few days. In fact, thereafter, Allah revealed a verse praising the people there. فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا. Allah says, those that reside at that masjid and perform salah, they love purity. When Nabi Sassam heard this here, and this is the beauty, Nabi Sassam immediately came to them. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَثْنَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has revealed the verse on me, praising you, tell me what's your quality, let us also learn. Nabi alayhi salam comes. In Madarik al-Tanzil, there is a narration there. فَإِذَا الْأَنصَارُ جُلُوسٌ. We, if we hear someone's praise, that's your opinion. There's always another side to the coin. Leave it. Somebody told, this comes in Bayhaqi. Ibn Sirin also mentions it. Someone one day came to Abu Bakr, to Umar, and he said, أَنْتَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. Now you get these elements in society. You know what, Umar? All respect to Abu Bakr. No offense to Abu Bakr. The man was a great man. But I think, you know what? Honestly, my opinion is you senior Abu Bakr also. My personal opinion. Look, I'm not imposing this on you. But I believe, I think Alhamdulillah, the Ummah respects Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Very good. But my personal opinion is that you are better than Abu Bakr. Now Allah forbid, if we have to hear this, speak louder. Next time when we meet with this guy, we must just touch the topic again. That's our sentiments. What did Umar say? Repeat what you said. I am better than Abu Bakr. Wallahi la laylatun min Abi Bakr wa yawm khayrun min Umar wa Ali Umar. Never mind me being better than Abu Bakr. One night and one day in the life of Abu Bakr in value and piety is greater in reward than me and my entire progeny. You saying I'm better than Abu Bakr. I can never equate that man. And I'm speaking of the night when he made hijrat with my Nabi. My whole life on one side. And Abu Bakr walking with Nabi Sassam in the dead of night. That night, in the eyes of Allah, will bring Abu Bakr closer than my whole life piety. And the day when he assumed the reins of Khilafah, and he led this Ummah, and he provided navigation and direction, with such sternness that he put an end to all the false prophets. All the uprising that was coming in Medina. He dispatched 11 groups and he brought stability and calmness. You can't match my whole progeny to the day of Abu Bakr. You're saying I'm better than Abu Bakr. Now we will take that person, we'll rally around him and we'll start a new sect. Pro-Umar. We'll start this here, and then there's dissension, and there's division, and there's bickering. Unfortunately, this is what happens to us. Nabi alayhi salam came there. There is a riwayat in Madarik al-Tanzil. He met a group of Ansar outside the masjid. He asked them three questions. Atardawna bil qada? Do you people express happiness on the decree of Allah? They said, yes. What Allah decides is best. You know, there is a hadith al-Qudsi that makes my hair stand. Man lam yarda ala qada'i, wa lam yasbir ala bala'i, falyattakhidh rabban siwa'i. Man lam yarda ala qada'i. Allah says, the one who will not be pleased on my decisions in his favor. وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ بَلَائِي. And will not persevere and endure in the difficulties I put for him. Then tell him to look for another Allah who is more capable. Now you might frown on that phrase. But let me remind you, as a father, you use the same thing. The child comes in. Oh, my friend's father, he buys him sweets. Then he walks in, oh, my friend's mother, what you say? Please do me a favor, tell your friend's mother she got another son from today. Please tell him to adore. I'm not a good father. I don't buy good clothes. I don't give you spending. Leave the moaning of your child. Aren't you moaning and groaning with your Allah in the same way? مَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَ عَلَىٰ قَضَائِ. He who's not pleased, then he's got a problem with my decisions. Then tell him to search. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ. You tour, where are you going to find in Allah? There is only one. يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا. If you think you can trespass and you can go beyond the heavens and the earth and you can exit from my jurisdictions and do so, do so. Where are you going to go? Wherever you go is my place, is my land. Harun Rashid had such an empire, he used to look at the clouds and say, shower your rain wherever you want to. The rain falls within my empire. And he was one king. Everywhere it is, it belongs to Allah. Amtiri haythu shi'ti. He used to tell the clouds, shower, it falls within my dominion. So anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked them, are you pleased with qada? They said, yes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, atasbiruna ala al-bala? Do you persevere on difficulties? They said, yes. Atashkuruna fir rakha? Are you grateful in prosperity? They said, yes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, mu'minuna wa rabbil ka'ba. I swear by Allah, I testify you are genuine believers. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, tell me now, what do you do that Allah has praised you so much? They said that when we relieve ourselves, we use soil, lumps of sand, and then we follow it up with water. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is your quality, hold it tight, Allah has praised you in the Quran for it. It's really sad when you go to airports and you're traveling to find Muslim people using urinals. It is really, really sad. It is really, really sad. It's painful. It's heartbreaking. Nonetheless, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there onwards then came to Medina. Allahu Akbar. Everybody comes to welcome him there. Again, the riwayat of Bukhari, first volume. Nabi alayhi salam in his dressing, while he had a unique attraction and there was a brilliance on his face, but by virtue of his dressing, he did not distinguish himself from others. So as this pay arrives, the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr, people are all standing and peeping over the shoulders and standing on the rooftops and the hills. And someone even said, Ayyuhum huwa. Now between the two, which is the Prophet of Allah? Ayyuhum huwa. Hatta asabati shams wa Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, you find a lot of time when a scholar is traveling, then with him he has some of his friends, colleagues, disciples. And many of them in their appearance, they give off a stronger image than the Sheikh and the Imam himself. And then people must take them to be the Imam, give them so much respect. The man knows that this man is mistaking me to be Maulana, but he's not, he's welcoming the respect. Oh, walaikum salam, bro. Brother, I don't mind you greeting me, but there's Maulana. No problem, you're welcome to greet me, but there's the Imam there, sorry. No, jazakallah for greeting, I have no problem. Then afterwards you see he's a driver, man. Said, I was greeting this guy, turning his shoes, you know, he's trying to appease him. He's a driver. Look at Abu Bakr. Look at the wisdom of Abu Bakr. Look at the maturity of Abu Bakr. He sensed the confusion of people. People are now turning their gaze. Hatta asabati shamsu. The sun has risen. It is hot. Qama Abu Bakrin yudallilu alayhi biridaihi. Immediately, plan of action, he took his scarf and he started shading the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As soon as he did this, here now all focus came onto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fa'arafa an-nasu rasulallahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People realized, okay, he's the man being served. He is the Nabi of Allah. What was the wisdom? Unfortunately, the Ummah has become so desperate for recognition. I say it to the youth. Many of them flash with courtesy cars. Like your car. Thanks for the compliment. Say, my brother, it's not my car. My car has gone for a service. No, he welcomes the compliment. But it's a courtesy car. Have we become so desperate that people praise me, salute me, laud me? Now, before I want to actually speak about Ashura, there was one other incident I want to highlight in the Hijrah. Amongst the many people that migrated, there was a sad incident of Umm Salma radiallahu anha, and in particular for the woman. Umm Salma radiallahu anha said, لما أراد زوجي أبو سلمى الخروج إلى المدينة, when my husband Abu Salma intended to make hijrah to Medina Munawwara, رحل لي بعيره, he put a carrier on his camel, ثم حملني عليه, he placed me on, ثم جعل ابني في حجري, then he placed my son Salma ibn Abi Salma in my lap. So I sat on the carrier, on the camel. Understand the journey. Understand. Our children are fighting for the window and for the middle seat and for the aircon. Look at the difficulties and the complexities. From Makkah to Medina, I'm sitting on this little carrier. My son is in my lap. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ بِي يَقُودَهُ. And then he holds the reins, and in this way we start leaving Makkah and we're leaving towards Medina. We barely exit from Makkah. فَلَمَّا رَأَتْهُ رِجَالُ بَنِي الْمُغِيرَةِ, when the men of my tribe spotted my husband, قَامُوا فَقَالُوا, they stood up and they came to him very harshly and arrogantly. And they said, هَذِهِ نَفْسُكَ غَلَبْتَنَا عَلَيْهَا. Now this is the memory that Muharram brings. In the new year, this is Hijrat. Study your own history, my brother. هَذِهِ نَفْسُكَ غَلَبْتَنَا عَلَيْهَا. You're free to do with yourself what you want to. The men of my tribe addressing my husband, you at liberty to do what you want to. عَلَامَ نَتْرُكُكَ تَسِيرُ أَرَأَيْتَ صَاحِبَتَنَا هَذِهِ. But you see, your wife, she belongs to our tribe. You married in our family. You don't take our daughter anywhere else. عَلَامَ نَتْرُكُكَ تَسِيرُ مَعَهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. We're not going to allow you to take our daughter and go. فَنَزَعُوا خِطَامَ الْبَعِيرِ مِنْ يَدِهِ. They snatched the reins of the camel from my husband. وَأَخَذُونِي مِنْهُ. And they abducted me from my husband. They separated me from my husband. They put my husband one side. When my tribe did this to me and they took me away and they said that I cannot go, my husband's tribe came away immediately. عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ غَذِبَ بَنُوا عَبْدِ الْأَسَدْ رَهْتُ أَبِي سَلْمَ. Abdul Asad, that was the tribe of my husband, they came away. They said, وَاللَّهِ لَا نَتْرُكُ عِبْنَنَا عِنْدَهَا إِذْ نَزَعْتُمُوهَا مِنْ صَاحِبِنَا. If you separated this woman from her husband, then that child belongs to us. He carries our surname. We're not going to leave our lady with her. She's not going to take my youngster. So Umm Salma radiallahu anha said, فَتَجَاذَبُوا إِبْنِي سَلْمَةَ بَيْنَهُمْ حَتَّى خَلَعُوا يَدَهُ. The riwayat of Bidayah. They started fighting with my son, and they started pulling my innocent child, and I'm screaming and nobody responds. Allah be my witness, they dislocated his arm. And my sister is flying in air conditioning, business class, to Medina Munawwara, and she can't persevere the little difficulty that comes upon her in the city of my Nabi. And this was how Umm Salma went to Medina. Nabi alayhi salam said, لا يصبر على لعواء المدينة وشدتها أحد من أمتي إلا كنت له شفيعا يوم القيامة. When you come to Medina and you persevere just because of me, I'll walk with you in Jannat. I will intercede for you. That's all. You know what happens when it's the woman's family coming, then she tells the husband and the children, please boy, I know your Mamaji is not a good man, but just respect him for my sake. When the father's family is coming, I know your foe is sticky, but boy, please, marawaste. Just look at my face. Nabi alayhi salam said, I know the climate might not be conducive. The people might not be conducive. Look at my face and make sabar. Umm Salma said they dislocated his hand. And unfortunately, this is a sight I have seen. When there's bickering in the marriage and there's quarreling, I have literally seen maternal and paternal grandparents fighting over an innocent child. Nobody rises beyond their differences in the interest of that child. If they can physically dissect that child, trust me, they will dissect that child. If they can dissect him, they'll dissect him. It's just not possible humanly, but that's what they're capable of doing. She said they dislocated his hands. فَانْتَلَقَ بِهِ بَنُوا عَبْدِ الْأَسَدِ. My husband's tribe took my son and off they went. وَانْتَلَقَ زَوْجِي إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. My husband went to Medina. وَحَبَسَنِي بَنُوا الْمُغِيرَةِ. And my tribe kept me behind. فَفُرِّقَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ زَوْجِي وَبَيْنَ ابْنِي. I got separated from my husband and my son. All three of us divided. My husband going to Medina, I'm kept in custody by my tribe. My little child taken away by my husband's tribe. This is the message that Muharram brings to you. She says, كُنْتُ أَخْرُجُ كُلَّ غَدَاتٍ فَأَجْلِسُ فِي الْأَبْتَحِ. You must see a mother when she has to part with her son. And the best part of it all is the son is going with the father. You know, like she's like, will you see him? Hey, I'm the father, man. Relax. I might not be a mother, but I have equal passion and I know he's my son. I'll see to him. If he doesn't eat, I won't force him to eat, but I won't let him die hungry. You see that anxiety. You know, she's pacing up and down. She said, I would come outside the house where I stayed. And every day I would cry. Allah be my witness. Hatta amsa sana. I cried for 1 year. And I was alone. Many women speak of their ordeal in their mother-in-law's house. Oh, ekli. Alone I cry. This is what my sister-in-law did. This is what my in-laws did. Rightfully so, my sister. My heart for you. I pour my emotions for you. But for a moment, why not reflect and match your sabr with Umm Salma before you make the claim that I have made the most sabr? Allah put a thought in my mind. I mentioned it last week and today in Darsa Quran also I mentioned it. إِن كَانَ صَوَابًا فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَإِن كَانَ خَطَأً فَمِنِّي وَمِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَاللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنْهُ بَرِيئًا. Every one of us today has a passion of a beautiful wife, a beautiful house, and a beautiful car. The connotations of beauty in our mind have become exclusively materially related. So we only believe material objects can be beautiful. Now let me tell you, in the light of Quran, where Allah inspires His Nabi and commands His Nabi to inculcate within him three qualities, and Allah labels every quality beautiful. Allah says, فَاصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا فَاصْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَاهْجُرُهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have beautiful sabr. Learn beautiful forgiveness. This is a translation. I'm not adding the word beauty. This is in the Quran. Till today, perhaps we assume beauty can only mean woman. Beauty can only mean car. Stunning. Mind-boggling. Wow. Have beautiful patience, beautiful forgiveness. And the third thing, Allah says, and beautifully ignore your enemies. I mentioned this at the Walima. And I said, this couple that is starting their life, wallah, if they don't have a beautiful house and a beautiful car, but if they have beautiful sabr, this marriage will prosper. If they have beautiful forgiveness, and they have beautiful patience, on the reverse, they have a beautiful house and a beautiful car and a stunning this and a lavish that and a, you know, unique view and a beautiful this, but they lack this beauty. Statistics tell us how marriages are dissolving. Just run through this year. فَاصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. Every man has a passion to have a house, and then he wants to upgrade to a beautiful house. No, people, what's wrong? You must change your phone. But I don't have a problem. No, but you must change. You must change. Technology is evolving. You are the latest. That's that. You must just upgrade. So there is a passion to become the owner of a house, and then there is a passion to become the owner of a beautiful house. To own a car, and then a beautiful car. Allah says, first acquire sabr, then upgrade your sabr to beautiful sabr. First acquire forgiveness, then upgrade it to beautiful forgiveness. First learn how to ignore those who are out to harm you, but then learn to ignore them in a beautiful way. This is the verses of the Quran. Now, what's the definition? It's our of its own, these three things. فَاصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. Allah says, forgive in a beautiful way. What is beautiful sabr? الصَّبْرُ الَّذِي لَا جَزَعَ فِيهِ. Patience in which there's no moaning and groaning. When you have made sabr, I'll make sabr, it's okay. Oh, my brother, my brother, my sister, who are you thrilling, who are you appeasing? You're lucky I made you mafia, you know that? Just because, you know, you must make shukr with family. Allah says, لَوْ بَلَغَ الذُّنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَا ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. This is only Allah. Allah says, you come with sins that reach the heavens. I promise you, I'll forgive you, and I won't harp about how I forgave you. La ubali, I won't harp about it. I won't make a story about it. I won't publicize it. I won't let the world know, la ubali. I read this hadith and I cry. I read this hadith and I cry. I say, my Allah, this is only you. Allah says, I won't make a noise about it. I won't harp about it. People will make you ya. This is the nature of man. Sabr jamil la jaza'a fi. There's no moaning and groaning. Now imagine if both the couples start off with beautiful sabr. So Yaqub alayhi salam is separated from his son. And this separation happens by the mutual plotting of his other children. How does he answer? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. He doesn't say, wait, I need to seek legal advice in this matter. I'll get back to you. I'm speaking to my legal fraternity. I need to know what my options are. You know what, we can sue you for defamation. I mean, even if you don't get him back, but you can come home with a million, why not? No. I need to take out that beautiful sabr. That's the time what I got it for. Wallahul musta'an. Read the riwayat of Bukhari. When the slander was leveled against Aisha, and it continued for a period of time, and it became so bitter, that Nabi alayhi salam gathered Aisha radiallahu anha, and Abu Bakr and Umm Ruman, and they're all sitting around a table. Nabi alayhi salam very politely approaches her. Without, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever accused her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never, unfortunately, there's no element of trust in the marriages. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, there's an accusation against you. If you have done this here, then admit and Allah will forgive you. Wa in kunti bari'atan fasayubarri'uki Allah. And if you're innocent, Allah will prove your innocence. Aisha radiallahu anha said, you people have heard the slander so much. Hatta istaqarra fi nufusikum. It looks like you convinced. If I'm going to tell you I'm innocent, you're not going to believe me. If I tell you I have perpetrated it, you'll be happy, but I haven't done it. La ajidu li wa lakum mathala illa kama qala Abu Yusuf. I think I need to reflect on the incident of Yaqub alayhi salam. She said, my mind was so emotional, I couldn't recall the name of Yaqub. So I said, what? Yusuf's father. This is in the narrative of Bukhari. Aisha radiallahu anha said, in my emotions, I couldn't even recall Yaqub alayhi salam's name. I'm going to say the same thing Yaqub told to his children. Don't give me the sad story of a wolf. I'm making beautiful sabr and I walk away from this year. I'm going to make beautiful sabr and I walk away. She said this, she barely turned and their revelation came. And Allah lashed out. Allah lashed out against everyone who accused her. That's the effect of beautiful sabr. But then you step out. What do you say? No, boy. Okay, I want to speak to you. Sorry, you have to deal with my attorney directly now. I'm out of the picture. Once your attorney is in, you can't be in. Either your attorney speaks or you speak. You just pay, he speaks. Either you want Allah to interject and intervene, or then you run the course. You know when you run it. What haven't you touched, my brother, but that you've messed it? Anything man touches, he messes it. And anything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts his gaze on, it becomes magic. So beautiful patience. Allah favor us all with it. Say ameen. The second quality, beautiful forgiveness. Allah doesn't say forgive, Allah says forgive in a beautiful way. فَاسْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ. Now I have noticed this year, many times when I've been called into arbitration, when it gets ugly, then we tend to take out a lot of filth of the past. We've passed those hurdles. We've matured those issues. We've moved on with life. What's the issue at hand? Let's resolve this year. Yeah, but even on the wedding day, your brother told me this. Our children are married. We're talking on the wedding day. Let's move on. Forgive in a beautiful way. As long as you keep it in your heart. You know, forgive me. My wife is what she told me 1 hour, and I know I'm already on the second hour. But inshallah, she'll have beautiful forgiveness. When Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah reunited him with his brothers. Allah reunited him with his brothers. Then he said, Allah has been very kind to me. إِذْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ. What did he say? Allah has been kind to me. He united me with my brothers. And Allah has been kind to me. He took me out of the jail. The scholars say, when he highlighted the privileges that Allah gave him, he did not highlight the kindness of Allah, that Allah took him out of the well. Because if he had to say that Allah was kind, that Allah took him out of the well, it was a subtle reference to the hostility of his brothers who dropped him in the well. So he didn't approach the topic of the well because it could breathe into some bitterness. So why talk about the well? Just forget the chapter. This is beautiful forgiveness. And the third one, the Quran said, they will be your enemies and they will be hostile toward you. In every family, in every relation, there will be certain out there that are to plot. That's the nature of life, my brother. Allah told his Nabi, wasbir ala ma yaqulun, wasbir ala ma yaqulun. O Nabi of Allah, they're going to say this. They will say nasty things, they will say evil comments. Abu Lahab's wife, Umm Jamil, she used to openly sing vile poetry against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She used to openly condemn him in social circles. She used to come and say, مُذَمَّمَنْ عَصَيْنَا أَمْرَهُ أَبَيْنَا دِينَهُ قَلَيْنَا. She said, who said he is Muhammad the praised one? His name is Na'udhu Billah Mudammam, the condemned one, the criticized one. This were her couplets, and she used to promote these couplets. مُذَمَّمَنْ عَصَيْنَا. This disgraced man, we have disobeyed. أَمْرَهُ أَبَيْنَا. His faith we deny. أَمْرَهُ أَبَيْنَا دِينَهُ قَلَيْنَا. And his religion we hate. This was the poetry. Now imagine, this was his uncle's wife, this was his aunt. Allah said, wasbir ala ma yaqulun. Persevere, wahjurhum hajran jameela. Ignore them in a good way. Now, we have to learn this also. First, we need to learn to ignore. Certain people, they just wouldn't want to change. Now, you're ignoring. What you looking at? Look like your father. Now, that's not ignoring in a beautiful way. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَاهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Khair, coming back to the incident of Ummah Salma, these were three things that Allah put in my mind, and I had felt the need to convey this to the Ummah. Allah inspire us with it. Really, you don't know. What I have noticed, many times people have phoned me, and they said, Maulana, you know, this particular hadith caught my eye. This one quotation changed my life. This one thing. Just in this week, my honorable father, Allah reward him, he gave me such a beautiful quotation. And he always shares these things with me, and he says, you have the platform conveyed to the Ummah. What is going to strengthen the bond is the sabr. He says, love is not measured by how much we touch each other, nor is it measured by how much we hug each other, but it is measured by how much we reach each other. Love is not measured by how much we touch each other, nor is it measured by how much we hug each other, but how much we reach each other. Are we reaching one another? We will reach if we have these three beautiful qualities. Then we'll reach. But if we have everything else, I'm afraid we're not reaching. And don't be deceived. I can tell you, my brother, it's inundated the calls. Ummah Salma radiallahu anha said, after 1 year had passed, 1 year had lapsed, حَتَّى مَرَّ رَجُلٌ مِّن بَنِي عَمِّي, one of my cousins passed by. He looked at my condition, فَرَآ مَا بِي فَرَّحِمَنِي, he pitied me. He said, أَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ هَذِهِ الْمِسْكِينَ. Don't you people want to pity this girl? Send her back to her husband. 1 year you separated her. I had 3 months of hell. Balala. This is a standard thing. I first keep tissues on the side for the sister. I don't know where to start from. And the brother is sitting and he goes, bro, what's my... Well, I got a glass of Coke there. Every single day, 3 months of 1 year I cried. What's this phrase? You make sabar sabar. After end, there's a limit to sabar. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah said, there is no limit to sabr, and there is no limit to the reward for sabr. There is no limit to the reward for sabr, there is no limit to sabr. Anyway, 1 year passed, they said, get this woman back. So they told me, ilhaqi bi zawjiki, you can go join your husband. So I got ready. And when they gave me the go-ahead, عند ذلك رد بنو عبد الأسد ابني, my husband's tribe, Allah put pity in their heart, they gave me my child back. But obviously I was worried about his hand. What had happened in that 1 year, the dislocated arm, who can see to the child better than the mother? I hugged my child. Can you imagine what an emotion it is? The husband is in Medina, this is in Makkah, the environment is hostile. When these people will stand up before Allah, how will we stand up? When this woman, Ummah Salma, will stand with her child, and this is the sacrifice she made, and my sister has a problem of veiling herself, the victimization that comes upon her, the pain is far too great to bear. She says, فَارْتَحَلْتُ بَغِيرِي, I prepared my camel. ثُمَّ وَضَعْتُ إِبْنِي فِي حَجْرِ حَيَاتُ الصَّحَابَ, in the first volume, the full riwayat is there. I took my son and I put him in my lap. أُرِيدُ زَوْجِي بِالْمَدِينَ, I'm heading for Medina. وَمَا مَعِي أَحَدٌ مِّنْ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ, Allah knows how I cried. It was only me and my son. Nobody else, as a woman traveling from Makkah to Medina, when I haven't seen my husband nor had communication with him for 1 year. حَتَّى إِذَا كُنْتُ بِالتَّنْعِيمِ, as I approach Tan'im, we know that's just outside Makkah, لَقِيتُ عُثْمَانَ بْنَ طَلْحَ, a man by the name of Uthman ibn Talha. Ummah Salma says, I'll never forget this man. He came to me and he said, يَبْنَةَ أُمَيَّ, يَبْنَةَ أَبِي أُمَيَّ, إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ, oh sister, where you off to? I said, أُرِيدُ زَوْجِي بِالْمَدِينَ, I want to go to Medina. So he said, وَمَا مَعَكِ أَحَدٌ, there is nobody with you. She said, مَا مَعِي أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بُنَيَّ هَذَا, إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَبُنَيَّ هَذَا, I got no one by, it's my little child and my Allah is with me. He said, no, this is just not on. He held the reins of the camel and he wasn't a Muslim. This was the modesty of that time. This was the respect of that time. And now we heard about this law about 16 or 15 year old children mustn't kiss in public. And then there was an effort by, I heard of this youngster, that is actually recruiting youth to defy it and openly kiss in public. This day, there was actually a day that they want to officially run with the plan, that to dare, to challenge. This is the result of freedom. Maulana Ibrahim Dawla, Hafidhullah wa Ra'a, said, Azadi tumara haq, barbadi tumara natija. Freedom, your right. Destruction, your lot. Freedom, your right. Destruction, your share. Inseparable. These things go together. She says, anyway, he took the reins and he very modestly walked with me. Imagine, he changed his whole plan. He's leaving now from Makkah and he's coming to Medina. Today a person asks you, you know what, brother, can you just show me that? Oh man, you know what, he's down the road there. It's just as simple as jumping into your car and taking him there. There's a great reward to show someone who is looking for direction. You got to go there, it's going to cost you 2 minutes and come back. Here the man is going from Makkah to Medina simply because one woman is traveling unaccompanied. The honor of this woman is more sacred. And you're talking of a man who's a non-Muslim. What were the levels of modesty at that time? She says, whenever we would halt, he would make the camel sit down, then he would go away one side. He would excuse himself. He would excuse himself, and then I would comfort myself, attend to my child, prepare everything. When it's time to resume, he would come, drop his gaze, hold the reins and walk. Hatta aqdamani al-Madina, till he brought me to Medina. He didn't come right inside. Wa kana zawji nazilan fiha. My husband was in that particular tribe. He brought me close. He said, sister, there is your husband in this tribe. Thumman sarafa raji'an. He left me and immediately he commences return back to Makkah. He came all the way. Now look at the barakat of this loyalty in إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُذِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Understand, my brother, you moved the peel from the road. The world didn't see it, you didn't get coverage. But the fundamental principle of the Quran is, Allah says, I will never let any act of good go unrewarded. That's my law. This is how Allah works. You've done a kind gesture and that man defaulted you. That will be evil for him. When Uthman radiallahu anhu was assassinated, and Abdullah ibn Salam came by the house and he stood there and he said, oh Uthman, I will stand with you. فَإِن يَقْتُلُوكَ فَشَرٌ لَهُمْ وَخَيْرٌ لَكْ. If they kill you, woe be to them and good luck to you, you'll be a martyr. So if he defaulted you, evil to him and good luck to you for your honesty. If they kill you, oh Uthman, then evil to those rebels and those assassins and good luck to you, it's martyrdom. She says, وَاللَّهِ مَا صَحِبْتُ رَجُلًا مِّنَ الْعَرَبِي قَدْتُ أَرَىٰ أَنَّهُ كَانَ أَكْرَمْ مِّنْهُ. In my life, I've never seen a more modest and a dignified man than Uthman ibn Talha. Never cast a gaze upon me, modestly, without asking for any remuneration. It wasn't long, Allah blessed him with iman and he became a sahabi. It wasn't long, Allah blessed him with iman. So Umm Salma radiallahu anha says, then we came to Medina. She says, وَاللَّهِ مَا أَعْلَمُ أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ أَصَابَهُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مَا أَصَابَ آلَ أَبِي سَلْمَى. Many migrated, many persevered. But I wonder if anyone went through the difficulties my family went. She said, words cannot describe the reunion and the emotions when father, when husband, wife and son were reunited after 1 year and having no contact. This was Hijrah. Anyway, to wrap up, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, amongst the first issues that he dealt with, amongst the first issues that the Prophet ﷺ dealt with was the issue of strengthening the brotherhood. And this is key. The mu'akhat, the brotherhood that he made amongst the Sahaba. Subhanallah, Abdurrahman ibn Auf was paired to a Sahabi by the name of Rabi' radiallahu anhu. Rabi' radiallahu anhu said, I own this here. Two gardens, one is yours. I have two wives. He was lucky. I will divorce one and you can have the one you want. I own two, whatever one. Look at how they showed. On the other hand, Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, Dulluni ala suq. Jazakallah, my brother. I don't want to live off your esteem and abuse your loyalty. Show me where's the bazaar and I will do what I have to do. The Muhajirin and the Ansar had such a bond that the Quran says they inherited first. First, there was inheritance between these brothers, which were not biological brothers. The only thing binding them and bonding them was the bond that the Prophet ﷺ had created when he would pair them up. Now a unique quality of the Ansar, the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة. Allah says the Ansar that had occupied Medina before the Muhajirin came, if there is a crisis in one of the neighboring states, because of which there is an influx at the borders, we can well imagine the frustration in the South Africa. Now these people are going to eat our tax money. They're going to use our roads. No, we need to do something. We need to get rid of them. Allah described the Ansar that they love the influx of poor Muhajirin into their dwellings. Who can be like that? That people walking in, coming in scores and multitudes with nothing, to the point that the Quran referred to these Muhajirin as lil fuqara'il Muhajirin. In the tafsir, the scholars explore every word. Allah says the poor Muhajirin. Whereas back home in Makkah, they were wealthy. But because they had to forsake everything, so overnight they lost it, Allah said they were paupers. Now Allah praised the Ansar, that in the morning when they got up, they had to contend with poor people who owned nothing. Never mind frowning, Allah said they loved them and they embraced them. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Not saying this man is going to eat my tax money and he's going to drink my water and he's going to do this here. Then that's not all. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. Over and above that, the Prophet ﷺ told them to create the brotherhood, and they created the brotherhood. Thereafter, when the spoils of the tribe of Banu Nadir and Banu Qaynuqa fell at the hands of the Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ then called Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas. I will round up shortly, inshallah. Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, who was the leader of the Ansar. Nabi ﷺ said, I need an urgent meeting with you people. So he said, just myself or all the Ansar? Nabi ﷺ said, all the Ansar. He gathered all the Ansar. He then complimented them. He saluted them. He said, you people have done a brilliant job. The way you've welcomed your brothers on board, you've poured your heart out to them, you've accommodated them in the best possible way. Now I've got this wealth that has come here. We've got one of two options. Either I give you portion and I give them portion, or I devote everything to the Muhajirin simply because they don't have much, and then I can make them independent. So once they're independent and they're on their own feet, then you also can start living your life normal. You can start living your life normal and get back onto your pattern and your rhythm. Subhanallah, two of the Ansar leaders, Sa'd ibn Mu'az and Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he said, oh Prophet of Allah, our suggestion is slightly different. Our proposal is that you give them all the wealth and they still retain whatever we've given them. When I read this, Allah be my witness, I read it and I cried. I read it and I cried. I read it and I cried. I said, Ya Allah, the skies and the earth won't see Sahaba again. إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ بِمِثْلِهِ لَبَخِيلُ. The poet says that the era has become a miser. The women have become barren from giving birth to such children. The time can't produce such likes. What did the Ansar say? Give them everything. And what we've given them, they retain it as well. When the Muhajirin heard this, what they said? خَشِينَا أَن يَذْهَبُوا بِالْأَجْرِ كُلِّهِ. Oh, Nabi of Allah, we need to speak to you urgently. The way it looks like, they've taken all the reward, they've hijacked all the sawab away. Have you seen this guy's hijacking me? Nah, he's robbing me. Okay, I didn't see that zero there. All right, okay. Don't see properly, you start swearing, then you don't see the balance sheet properly, you accuse him, then you say, it's the fax is coming through. Okay, right. How's the family? Keep well, maaf, maaf. So passionate, you don't see properly, you don't read properly, and you start blurting. Allah said, why could they do this? وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, they were saved from the greed of their ego, so they could display this generosity. If you're saved from that ego, that greed. Now the Muhajirin, what did they say? خَشِينَا أَن يَذْهَبُوا بِالْأَجْرِ كُلِّهِ. Oh Nabi of Allah, I think these people are going to walk away with Jannah clean. I mean, this is a, they're just going to steal the show. Nabi alayhi salam gave such a beautiful formula. He said, لا. مَا أَثْنَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَدَعَوْتُمُ اللَّهَ لَهُمْ. I mean, the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith. Allah be my witness, when I'm studying at night sometimes, and I say this only in gratitude to Allah, Imam Muhammad used to say, if the kings knew the pleasure we appreciate and enjoy and derive when we study in kitabs, who was the distinguished scholar of Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, I swear by Allah, they'll throw their kingdoms, abandon their seats, and they will start studying kitabs. When you're studying at night, sometimes a tafsir, you know, it's late night, you're tired, and you're studying, and then you see the view or the commentary, and you understand the beauty of the Quran. I cannot possibly tie it and put it in words, the joy that grips you. You just cannot imagine what a joy it is. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? No. You're afraid that they have taken all the reward. Let me give you a formula that you can have a share in their good. And by virtue of that formula, my brother, you can have a share in the good of everyone. Do two things and you will have a share in the good of your Ansar brothers. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, make dua for them and praise them for their good. Now instead of me sitting here and criticizing all the various organizations, mashallah, the Jamiat is doing brilliant work. Allah reward them. Subhanallah, they're infiltrating all the rural areas. My hat off for them. But the grace of Allah, the istima is taking place. Allahu Akbar, brothers are working relentlessly across the clock. I am a weak, humble servant. Allah reward them. Nabi alayhi salam said, praise those doing good and making dua. Allah will give you a share of their goods. But you sit here, you don't do, you condemn, you criticize, denying yourself free rewards. La, the riwayat of Hayat al-Sahaba, La, ma da'awtum Allah lahum, wa athnaytum alayhim. Praise them and make dua for them. We know the virtue of Ashura and the day of 10th of Muharram. Many people tend to attribute this to the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu anhu. And undoubtedly his martyrdom is great. In Madarik al-Tanzil, I came across a narration yesterday. I was reading some beautiful tafsir of Imam Nasafi rahimahumullah. وَكَانَ قَلِيلَ الْكَلَامِ. He spoke very little. He was sitting. Someone came and told him, قُتِلَ الْحُسَيْنِ. The grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hussein radiallahu anhu, has been assassinated. He spoke very little. He got up, and we know it had happened on the 10th of Muharram. He said, أَوَ قَدْ فَعَلُوا. Have they literally killed and assassinated Hussein radiallahu anhu? So the person replied, yes, قتل الحسين. They have literally taken the drastic step and they have assassinated Hussein radiallahu anhu. Then he said, قتل الحسين الذي كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يجلسه على حجره ويضع فاه على فيه. I don't know how they did this year that they could kill a person whom I don't know how many times has sat on the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I don't know how many times Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has put his blessed tongue in the mouth of Hussein. Then he read this verse, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ عَالِمَ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون. Oh Allah, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And you will decide and judge between your creation on the day of Qiyamah in every matter in which they disputed. So undoubtedly the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu is a sad episode. But really, as Muslims, we have not been taught to sensationalize it. Because if we start sensationalizing the martyrdom of Sahaba, trust me, we will be mourning and sensationalizing every day. Every Sahabi had died on a different day, on a different month, on a different event, at a different location with different circumstances. So today would be Hussein, tomorrow would be Uthman, then would be Ali, radiallahu anhum. All these were martyred for the cause of Allah. The hadith that I quoted before you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina, he observed the fast of Ashura. Why was it being fasted? Why did they observe? Because of the fact that on this day, they rejoiced over the fact that Pharaoh was destroyed and drowned. I just want to highlight one, two important points. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Nahnu ahakku bi Musa." We are closer to Musa. It's important in this climate of misconception, in this climate of volatility, in this climate of accusation, that we, in a healthy manner, intellectually engage in dialogue, in explaining and expounding on the beauty and the encompassing nature of Islam. While Islam is accused of not being tolerant, Islam is that religion that is so wholesome and so encompassing that it commands its followers to equally rejoice the day that the Almighty gave salvation to the Prophet Moses. Is this not the mutual beauty of Islam in sharing in the joy of the other prophets? Someone said it even more beautiful. If a Christian accepts his faith and denies the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remains a diligent, devout worshipper. So can be said about a person following Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, diligent and devout, brings iman and he believes, but he does not believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He still remains a devout worshipper. But a Muslim is not a Muslim if he believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only, and he doesn't believe in Isa and Musa. He has to believe in them to be a Muslim. So you can be a devout worshipper to your faith, even if you don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for the record, my good neighbor, for the record, my good non-Muslim colleague, my beloved brother, let me tell you, as long as I don't believe in Jesus and I don't believe in Moses, I'm not a believer. When I entered the basic foundations of madrasa, what was I taught? Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli. That I brought iman on the galaxy of prophets. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged and he exhorted and he said, yukaffiru sanat al-madiya, that observing this fast will atone for the sins of the previous year. And he said, la'in baqitu, if Allah spares me for another year, la'asumanna at-tasi', then I will passionately fast on the ninth as well. Again, look at the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if nothing is confirmed of future. And again, what's the commitments of future? Nobility. We confirm deals of the future. And unfortunately, it's not noble actions. It's not noble actions. Yet the Prophet ﷺ says, if Allah spares me for an added year. This day was the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed Pharaoh. Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes very beautifully in his tafsir. He said, subhanallah, Allah's planning. While I was commentating on these verses, following the sequence of my tafsir, I happened to... Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes very beautifully in his tafsir. He said, subhanallah, Allah's planning. While I was commentating on these verses, following the sequence of my tafsir, I happened to coincide with the discussion of the destruction of Pharaoh and the subsequent salvation of Musa alayhi salam. I happened to do this in the tafsir on the same 10th day of Muharram as well. So while I was writing my tafsir, Allah planned it for me in such a way that on this day, this is what had happened, and I was exactly at that same location where I was discussing the verses in my commentary, and this is mentioned in his tafsir. حتى إذا أدركه الغرق قال آمنت أنه لا إله إلا الذي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل. The lesson we learn from the destruction of this tyrant, and I conclude on this note, is that pride and arrogance, if a person doesn't stop it, it will take you and it will grip you till your death. Pharaoh's pride was till his last minute. You know how sad so many people lying on their deathbed in the clinic. Their gaze is fixed to that devil box. Till before they close their eyes, they're watching filthy pornography and watching evil things sitting there dying on their dying bed also. Leave alone the fact that they are, you know what, being exposed to immorality or strange woman. You might debate it, argue it, necessity, etc. The fact that salah hasn't been performed, whatever it is. But look at the gaze, look at the sin till the last minute. Pharaoh's pride did not cease when the water split and Musa is crossing. And Allah has decided the end of this dictator. And Allah has decided that the minutes are up of this tyrant. When he looks at the water opening up, till the last minute, not in office, in his life, he says, انظروا إلى البحر كيف انفلق طوعا لأمري حتى أخذ هؤلاء الفارين. Look at the water paving its way for me in advance so that I can intercept the army of Moses. Till the last minute, he says, the water is paving for me. Musa crosses the water. He's about to strike the water. Allah says, وَتَرُكِ الْبَحْرَ رَهْوَى إِنَّهُمْ جُنْدٌ مُغْرَقُونَ. Leave it, leave it. They are going to drown, and this drowning happened on this day, 10th of Muharram. This is obviously in the authentic narrations. As he gets into the water, and the last person of his army is inside, the Quran says, حَتَّى إِذَا أَدَرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ. When drowning overpowered him and he was reduced to death, in one breath he said, oh my Lord, I believe in you three times. What he never uttered in his whole life, but in a crisis of death, he said, I bring iman on you three times. Allah said, it is too late. Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi writes in his Qasasun Nabiyyin, drawing this picture, and then he ties it up with this verse. He says, Mata maliku misra ba'idan an arshihi ba'idan an sultanihi la tabibun yudawihi wala sadiqun yuwasihi wala aynun tabkihi. He says, the king of Egypt dies far from his throne, far from his dominion. لا طبيب يداويه. There's no doctor to treat him in the center of the ocean. ولا صديق يواسيه. He's so isolated, there's no friend to console him. ولا عين تبكيه. There's no eye to mourn his death. The Quran says, فما بكت عليهم السماء والأرض وما كانوا منظرين. Allah said, neither the heavens nor the earth mourned the death of Pharaoh, and he was not given respite for a split second. Let us reflect, seize the opportunity of fasting on these blessed days, and reflect over our death, from where to where we might be having the palatial homes. Who know, our death could be at some deserted location, it could be in some isolated island, while around us we have the best of physicians, but Allah alone knows where our death could be. We ask of His kindness to bless us with a noble death, with an enviable death, on the Friday in the month of Ramadan in the holy city of Medina. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.